lazily up to hers again.
Break a leg today?
She gripped her bag so hard her nails were cutting into her palm. Why does it sound like you mean that? He only bared his teeth, his hard lips peeling back to flash teeth that likely weren't any sharper than anyone else's teeth, but they still made his smile look deadly. She sucked in a breath and hurried away from the daybed, escaping down to the lower level and pushing into Theodore's room after quickly knocking. He was inside his closet, calling out to her.
I don't really have much, but I can do casual or formal.
How'd you know it was me? She perched on the edge of his bed, crossing her legs and resting her chin on her palm. He emerged from the closet, his smile easy and bright, melting all the way into her.
I smelled you. What did Oscar want with you?
How did you...
Oleander. Theodore rolled his eyes. He's on you.
I ran into him.
I'm happy to see you.
He shocked her by suddenly scooping her up, pulling her into a bone-crushing hug, his hands pulling at her waist.
I love your makeup look. Very angsty.
Thanks, she giggled. Killian helped. He squeezed her, setting her back down on his bed, and then he began to trace the messy strands of her hair. He touched her chin, lightly thumbed the edge of her mouth, and eventually set his hands on her shoulder.
Better, he muttered, even though he hadn't changed a thing. Now, help me.
Okay. She jumped up and wandered into his sparse closet. He had a loose, thin, white button-up like the one Killian had given to her, so she handed him that and then chewed on her lip, cutting her eyes back to him. He was wearing black pants that were possibly a little too small for him because they hugged him in places she shouldn't be focusing on, but she loved that he had tried to find something formal for her.
Those are great, she said, pointing to the pants. Great.
He tugged off his shirt right then and there, and even though it wasn't the first time she had seen him shirtless, she still sucked in a small breath, averting her eyes from his muscles as he pulled on the shirt, half-buttoning it in a haphazard way.
Let's go. Is your friend meeting us there?
Yeah. She was just grabbing the recording equipment. She's really excited.
Are you excited?
I'm petrified. He laughed, tucking her under his arm.
You'll do great.
He paused on the way past the lounge room.
Who's coming?
Killian threw down his controller, jumping up to join them, but he wasn't the only one. Reed stood, stretching his long limbs before pulling out his phone.
I'll text Nico and Kian to meet us there.
Spade got up without a word, punching Moses' shoulder on his way past.
Go upstairs and get Oscar. Meet us there.
He gave Isabel a short, assessing look that told her he had seen Theodore's upload of her dare. She got the distinct impression that he didn't like that he had been dragged into it, but he was keeping his opinions to himself for the time being. She waited for Moses to say something snarky, but he surprised her by standing and walking off toward the hallway without so much as blinking.
This is a pretty big deal,
Killian whispered to her, stopping on her other side and bending close to her face.
It's basically Theo's debut.
She nodded tightly, trying not to panic as they left Dorm A in a silent pack. If it had just been Theodore, she might have felt like she was on her way to do something scary with the support of a good friend. Instead, it felt like a pack of alphas were marching her off, possibly all the way to the academy gates. And she wasn't the only person thrown off by them. When they reached the training room, Eve almost dropped the recording equipment she was setting up.
Hi, she squeaked. Everyone?
Hi,
Theodore responded with a warm smile, immediately putting her at ease.
Thanks for helping us do this. Indy, right?
Yes, Eve Indy.
She was staring at him with eyes as wide as saucers.
It was her idea,
Isabel reminded him out of the side of her mouth. He only smirked at her, moving over to the piano and sitting down.
Am I good here?
He asked Eve, motioning to the camera.
I can move the piano.
No! Eve was still choking on her tongue. You're perfect, obviously. I mean, you'd look great wherever. So, well...
Her gaze shot over to Killian.
I mean, you're all perfect.
Isabel decided to shake off Eve's weirdness. The poor girl was clearly in shock. She dropped her tote on the bench as the other alphas all walked out of the room, Spade muttering something about chairs. She extracted the shirt Killian had given her and laid it on the bench, quickly pulling off her shirt and tights.
Jesus, Illy, Theodore growled. Warning next time.
Sorry,
she rushed out, wiggling into the shirt. She was so desperate to get changed before the others came back that she didn't even look at him as she buttoned the shirt all the way from the hem to the neck. It fell down to her thighs and was soft and billowy as silk, the perfect thing to dance in. Killian came in first, his chair hitting the ground with a thump as he saw her. A laugh burst out of him, and he crooked a finger at her.
No, 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 young lady. Come here.
She dragged her feet all the way over to him, frowning as he unbuttoned the shirt enough that it was hanging open at the top and the bottom.
You're not dancing for a job interview,
he teased. She grunted a sound in reply, since she couldn't really argue with him, and then walked over to the ballet bar to begin her stretches as Theodore played through the song on the piano, warming up. She heard the door open a few times, but she decided to ignore it, focusing on her stretches and the slow melody sinking into the back of her mind.
Ready?
Eve asked nervously, sliding up to Isabel's side.
I'm so nervous I could drop the camera.
Why? Isabel paused, her eyes on the chairs that had been set up along the back of the room. Every alpha within the walls of Ironside Academy had been corralled into the back of the dance studio, including Professor Easton and Professor West, who, ironically, looked like night and day. Mikkel Easton was slighter than the giant sitting next to him, but he looked rougher, meaner, those scars mottling his face. His sharp features, strong nose, and clean, arched brows might have made him handsome, but all of it was tagged by jagged white lines. People online were calling him ugly, saying that even his hair looked like dark blood, though Isabel didn't agree. It was mostly a rich, dark brown, but there were a few russet tinges. She couldn't discern the black splotches in his blue eyes from so far away, but his sharp gaze was unmistakable. He was looking at her like she was about to fuck this up for Theodore on a significant scale, but there wasn't a thing he could do to stop it, like he was watching a car crash in slow motion. Kaelin West, on the other hand, was huge. His face was broad and chiseled, his dark mahogany hair cropped short, containing the hint of a curl against his collar. He had yellow amber eyes, like gems, like the eyes of a tiger. The color merged with his golden alpha ring, making his eyes appear to glow from where he stood across the room. He had his hands tucked into his pockets, and from the bulges straining against the material, she assumed he was curling them into fists. The two professors stood behind the other seven alphas, who were seated in a neat row, languishing in shadow. Ashford, Sato, and Moses were all slouched, legs spread, arms crossed, expressions guarded. It was hard to look at them, so she quickly moved on, taking in Nico, whose head was cocked to the side, one hand tucking the wavy strands of his hair behind his ears. He had bleached it at the start of the year, and it was now several shades lighter than the light honey tint of his skin. His well-shaped brows jumped up, like he was challenging her about something. But the smile on his lips was easy and light. It was a mask. She had seen it on the show 1,000 times. Nobody ever got past the social mask Nico Hart put on. She blinked, casting her eyes over Killian, whose lips lifted into a soft smile, and then Spade and Reed, who sat there like robots, ready to analyze her every move. Which made sense, actually. If they thought she was actually trying to win the game, then they would be her competition out of the alphas. She shrugged off the odd sensation of so many eyes on her and so many emotions fluttering up against her chest, turning to Eve. Those alphas really liked to stick together, every single one of them turning up to support Theodore. It was beyond strange. "Ready," she muttered, moving to the center of the room. Eve switched on a second floodlight, directing it to slant over Isabel, the other lighting up Theodore, and Isabel gave her a nod. The alphas had positioned themselves at the back of the room instead of the front, which meant they would all be in most of the shots, but they were cloaked by darkness. If they were trying to intimidate her, it wasn't working, because her brain had already switched from Sigma to choreographer, and she thought they added a brilliant depth of mystery and malice to the atmosphere. She lowered herself to the ground and then curled onto her side, the spotlight burning into her cheek as she closed her eyes. "On three," Eve called out. "One, two." Theodore started to play, and she started to stir, each note of the piano pulling at a part of her body, though she didn't become fully animated until his voice sounded, low and haunting, creeping through the shadows of the room to force her eyes open. "I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you." She rolled and arched and stretched, her body like a bow fighting against the pull of his voice, fighting against the power that wrapped all around her until she was forced to her feet, until she was dancing like a broken ballerina who only wanted to soar. "No, I don't want to fall in love." She acted like she was tugged around the room, spinning and spinning and extending painfully, reaching for freedom. "No, I don't want to fall in love with you." Her face was torn, her hands pulling desperately at the billowy shirt, like she might pull it clean from her body. And then she was tumbling to the ground again, focusing on keeping her lines clean and sharp, her extensions taut and beautiful. "What a wicked thing to do, to make me dream of you." She was being consumed, ripped apart right there on the floor while she twisted her body into positions that hurt like hell, but appeared effortless. She had made sure of that, practicing until the pain became numb, until the expression that stared back at her in the mirror was exactly what she wanted to portray, until the physicality of her movements became secondary to the emotion of her choreography. She made her movements smaller again, returning to that fight against the pull of the haunting melody. Stretching and releasing, sharply reaching and rapidly withdrawing, her arms and legs stiff but pliant, pulled up and away by invisible forces. "It's strange what desire will make foolish people do." She tugged up to her feet again, one little bit at a time, each movement driven by a vibration from Theodore's perfect voice. And then finally, she was released. "And I don't want to fall in love." She was flying.
No, I don't want to fall in love.
She moved fast, leaping and soaring and spinning, like before but different, because she was finally free. But freedom changed nothing.
With you.
The pain was still there.
With you.
She collapsed. She stayed prone as the final notes died off, and silence filled the hall, thick and weighted by judgment, until Eve let out a loud whoop, and Theodore was tugging her up, pulling her into another crushing hug. He was getting good at those. Less stiff, his hands warmer, holding her so close that she could feel the breath that filled his chest.
You were so good.
His words brushed her temple, his heart pounding against hers.
You're the one that should win this game.
How could you even see? She panted out, hitting his back.
I watched every second. No.
The last word was a growl, and she realized there was another hand against her back. Killian's familiar smell wrapped around her.
Theo,
he said calmly. Theodore set her down, and Killian quickly pulled her away, his mouth set into a firm line. Theodore winked at her, strolling off to the other alphas like the weird moment hadn't happened at all.
Iz!
Eve threw herself at Isabel, knocking her out of Killian's hold.
Oh my God, that was brilliant! I still have goosebumps, look!
She shoved her arm into Isabel's face, making Isabel chuckle.
I'm glad I didn't mess up,
she admitted.
Oh, you messed up all right.
Killian tittered.
The last video of you dancing wasn't anything like this. Now people are going to know what it looks like when you really try. And it is not good news for you. Unless you like death threats and extreme hazing.
You have no idea, Isabel murmured, earning her a sharp look from Killian. Anyway, thanks for all the help. She grinned at him and wound her arm through Eve's, just in case any other alphas tried to grab her.
Let's go,
she whispered low to her friend. Killian bit back an amused smile.
Run, little Sigma.
Don't think I won't. Isabel shot back, flicking her tangled hair over her shoulder before quickly grabbing her tights out of her tote and pulling them on.
Are we actually making a run for it?
Eve asked, casting a nervous glance to the other side of the studio.
What about Kane? Shouldn't we think?
I'll thank Theo later. Isabel grabbed her hand and dragged her out of the room.
Let's get that video edited before something happens to it.
Like what? Eve asked, hurrying to keep up with her.
I don't know.
Isabel released her, throwing up her arms.
You never know what those alphas are going to do next. Let's just get it uploaded.
Eve skipped ahead, suddenly reanimated now that they were out of the oppressive air of the studio.
Deal. Race you back to my room. There's no way they'll set foot in Dorm O.
You'd be surprised. Isabel sighed out beneath her breath before running after Eve.
Killian had to admit things were getting complicated. As soon as the Sigma and her Omega friend escaped the hall, the friendly look dropped right off his face, replaced by one of concern as he turned to face the rest of the room. Gabriel, Moses, and Oscar were still in their seats, still in the exact same position. Arms crossed, legs spread, lips frowning. Moody bastards. Kian was up with Nico, both of them talking in low voices and casting blank looks toward the door Isabel had disappeared out of.
Save it,
Kaelin barked, not that anyone had said or done anything.
He had addressed the room at large, but he was looking at Theodore, making it seem like he didn't want the second youngest of their group to run after Isabel, since he was already halfway across the room.
Dorm meeting tonight. Don't be late.
Kaelin stalked out, Mikkel his dark shadow. Moses and Oscar escaped next, leaving Gabriel and Elijah to saunter off like none of this bothered or threatened them in the least. They were pretty good actors, actually. Nico and Kian cornered Theodore, herding him out while pretending not to hurt him at all, their arms around his shoulders and their fingers poking his ribs as they teased him about being an angsty piano-playing fuck. Killian was left alone in the studio, something he was used to. People tended to overlook him in a crowd, and the Alphas were certainly a crowd. The Ironside show had labeled him untouchable, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Most of the time, he was starving for touch. He turned everything off and closed the door of the room, slipping into invisibility as he left the fitness center. That was how he spent the rest of the day, hidden from the eyes of the students he stalked. He didn't do it with any intention, he just liked it better that way. He walked around the grounds before ducking into the Beta dorm and prowling through Ironside Row, since Kaelin would ask him for an update on what the top contenders were doing later. After a while, he got bored and stopped by the tennis courts. Nico was so predictable. He had remained the most ambivalent toward Isabel, while she seemed to have everyone else either annoyed, amused, or curious, which meant they were completely up in arms compared to their usual blindness to anyone who wasn't an alpha. But today she had shown her true colors, and Nico had noticed her for the first time. And now here he was, pounding out balls against a brick wall like he was trying to write out, "What the fuck is going on?" in Braille. Killian leaned up against the fence, looking down over the courts, folding his arms and surveying his friend with a frown. So, Nico was bothered, too. Interesting. He stepped away and found himself wandering toward Dorm O, just as his phone rang. He pulled the old Nokia out, frowning at the beat-up screen and the name displayed there.
"Aaron,"
he answered, his steps quickening as he moved away from the main pathway.
"What do you want?"
The husky laugh on the other end sent a pang through him.
"Oh, so it's like that, Kill?"
Killian slowed further and then stopped, leaning up against one of the fences on the far side of Jasmine Field.
"Sorry."
He closed his eyes, pinching his nose.
"It's been a day."
"Hmm." Aaron's deep voice hummed.
"And a week. I watched Ironside on Friday."
The Valentine's party, where Isabel had spent a significant amount of time glued to his side or perched on his lap. But he didn't have to explain anything.
"You're the one who broke it off,"
he said, but there was no bite to his tone. If anything, he whined a little bit. Killian wasn't sunny like Theodore and Nico, moody like Moses and Oscar, stupid smart like Gabriel and Elijah, or tough like Mikkel and Kaelin. Maybe he was like Kian, but Kian was wily and guarded his heart behind a 10-foot wall of mystery, which was guarded by a 20-foot wall of charm. Killian was softer than the rest of them. He was fucking sensitive, damn it.
"So, who is she?"
Aaron asked conversationally.
"As if you don't know,"
Killian scoffed.
"She's the Sigma. Who is she to you, Kill?"
"What is it to you?"
Killian shot back too quickly.
"You've only ever been with guys that I know of."
For the first time, Aaron sounded unsure. Concerned?
"I
guess I just wanted to let you know I'm here if you need to talk. It's clear something is going on.
With me and her?
Killian barked out a soft laugh. Nobody thinks that. It's not clear at all. Nobody knows you like I do.
All right, well, this has been fun. Is she your mate?
Aaron rushed out, like he couldn't hold it back any longer.
Jesus, fuck,
Killian swore.
Are you insane? Goodbye, Aaron.
He quickly ended the call, shaking his head as he stuffed the phone back into his pocket. He walked back to the main path with a heavy frown, hugging his invisibility even closer as he teetered, torn about which direction to go in. With a short, sharp breath, he turned in the direction of Dorm O, and soon found himself in Isabel's empty room. He wandered around, touching the neat little piles of her folded clothes before sinking down against the wall beside her bed. She always folded her pajamas up under her pillow, and he lifted the pillow now to check that she was still sleeping in one of the shirts he had given her. She obviously liked it. It was faded yellow with good vibes scrawled across the front in a 70s font. The material was so thin, the cotton almost silky, because it had also been his favorite once upon a time. Back when he was a scrawny little alpha who everyone looked down on because he cried when he hurt himself, and alphas weren't supposed to cry.
Mate?
He asked the silent room, the word dying off on an exasperated laugh. Bonding was rare. Very rare. So rare that it had only happened 3 times at Ironside over the years, and only twice since he had been alive. He remembered when Braun Carter announced to the world that he had found his Sigma match, and then subsequently hid her, and his daughter, away from that same world. He never spoke about them in the press or released photos of them. It was almost like they didn't exist, until Isabel came to Ironside. But that was all after Carter graduated, so none of it was on film. What was on film was censored, because of course a mate bond couldn't start without someone coming very close to dying. He pulled out his phone again, picking at the old buttons until he finally navigated to the number he had saved but never used. He wanted to message her. He wanted to be friends with her. Was that really such a big deal? She was sensitive just like he was. She was more similar to him than any of the alphas. And he had been cooped up with them for almost 2 years already without any external stimulation. He just wanted to... The phone vibrated in his hand before he could form the thought.
Theodore. Where are you?
Theodore.
Say boo if you're standing right next to me.
Killian.
Very funny, loser.
Theodore.
Don't forget charismatic.
Killian.
If it were true, it wouldn't be so easy to forget.
Theodore.
She was amazing, wasn't she?
Killian.
You were amazing.
Theodore.
Kaylin isn't happy. She's good enough to win.
Killian.
But she won't.
Another name flashed up on his screen, and he switched to the other message.
Kian. Come to the dining hall and stop sulking around Dorm O. The Sigma is here. And we're here too, by the way, if that counts for anything.
He groaned, stashing his phone away and walking over to the dining hall, where he found Theodore, Moses, Kian, and Nico stashed away in one of the booths. He didn't make himself visible until he had shoved Kian aside to make room for him on the seat.
Thought so,
Kian muttered, shifting to the side and lifting his lips in a cocky grin, his tattooed fingers rubbing his chin as he looked Killian over.
Find anything interesting?
It was hard to tell when Kian was guessing and when he knew. This was one of those times. Did he know how often Killian went to Isabel's room? Killian fucking hoped not.
Not really, he replied easily. Where were you?
Theodore asked, his eyes on his phone.
Around.
Killian stole a sausage from Kian's plate, pointing it at Nico.
Bad form today. What's got you all twisted up?
Nico, who hadn't even showered yet and still had sticky strands of bleach blonde hair matted to his forehead, forced a smile.
An opponent surprised me, but that's okay. I'll demolish them like I've demolished all the others.
Killian dropped the sausage, his stomach twisting. He snatched up a napkin, wiping his fingers.
Just do it gently, he whispered, keeping his eyes on the table.
Chapter 15. Chaos at Dawn. Isabel dug through the collection of 8-second videos and photos that Eve had helped her prepare over the past week, choosing one at random to post. She could never come up with anything clever to say, so, as always, she just set her description for the image as the Sigma emoji. People seemed to like it, because the Sigma emoji was trending, along with her collaboration with Theodore. The clip of her and Moses at the Valentine's Day party still hadn't been knocked out of the top 5 trending spot, so she was actually starting to accumulate quite a lot of popularity points. She set her phone down on the table, looking around for Eve, who was supposed to meet her for breakfast, but it wasn't the bubbly brunette who slipped into the chair opposite her. It was Crow. His hair was oily, like he hadn't washed it, and he winced as he tried to sit in the chair, a big hand settling across his ribs. The other pushed oily tendrils of his hair back, revealing deep-set eyes ringed in shadow.
Sigma, he huffed out. Been a minute.
You look like shit. She crossed her arms, pushing back the instinctive fear that tried to sprout up in her stomach. They were in a packed dining hall. What could he do?
And you look good.
He flashed his teeth, his eyes darting off to the side for a moment. She followed his line of sight, recognizing Bellamy frowning back from a table of bustling betas. Bellamy jerked his head as though to call Crow over to his table, but Crow turned back to Isabel.
You didn't tell anyone about what happened.
He spoke plainly, staring at his palms as he turned them upwards, his forearms resting against the table. After a moment, he turned them over, pressing his hands halfway across the table as he leaned forward. Silver-ringed eyes focused with a strange intensity on hers.
You can't, he hissed, because you're the villain of that story. I didn't do shit to you, but you tried to fucking kill me. Except you couldn't even do that properly. You tried your best, and it still wasn't good enough.
And just like that, she felt sick. Her stomach was turning, her vision growing blurry. She fought the feeling back, swallowing several times until he eased into his seat again, and she was able to clear her head. How about you just consider it a warning? She said to her lap. Don't come near me again. He laughed, lumbering to his feet.
We'll see. Catch you around, Sigma.
She texted Eve that she was skipping breakfast and pushed away from the table, making a beeline for the exit. The tightness in her chest didn't ease up until she made it out into the hallway, but the reprieve was brief.
Sigma!
She paused, closing her eyes and groaning inwardly. Bellamy caught up to her, his hand on her arm. He spun her around, but just as quickly released her before folding his arms and tucking his hands beneath his armpits. He rocked back on his heels.
Did you have something to do with what happened to Crow?
What?
He's been out of the hospital an hour, and you're the first person he wanted to talk to.
Sounds like he needs to get his priorities straight. She shrugged. Are you jealous?
He didn't even crack a smirk.
In fact, his entire fake, friendly social mask was absent. There were deep lines between his brows and frown indentations either side of his mouth. His hair was mussed, like he had been tugging on it, and his eyes kept darting off to the side, like he was worried about who might see them talking.
Did something happen between you two at the Valentine's party? He asked, his voice dropping so low she had to lean forward to hear him.
Like you don't know, she scoffed.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
He reared back.
Forget it. But next time I see you handing a girl a drink, I'm reporting you.
He grabbed her wrist before she could stalk away, his breath a hiss.
So something did happen. Get your fucking hand off me!
She tore her arm away and tried to leave again, but this time she smacked straight into another body. Heavy hands landed on her shoulders, spinning her around and pulling her back against a wide chest.
You know she's serious when she uses bad words.
Theodore rumbled out. He sounded like he was teasing, his tone light-hearted, but his fingers on her shoulders were stiff, his hard body lined with tension.
What's going on, Bellamy?
Bellamy's light green eyes flicked from her face to Theodore's. He seemed torn about something before he shook his head.
Nothing.
Then leave, Theodore growled, the last word carrying a hint of command as his alpha voice crept through.
Come on,
he added gently, tucking her under his arm and turning her away.
I was on my way to class, but it looks like you need an escort more than I need social media management.
He deposited her at her first class with a sunny smile and an easy wave, leaving her to stare after him in bemusement before heading in and taking her usual seat across from Ashford. He barely paid any attention to her or the professor. He shuffled his cards with a focused look, his tanned, tattooed hands occasionally flipping a card the other way to glance at it before slipping it back into the deck with an even heavier frown. He looked up in surprise when the bell rang, his eyes connecting with hers, his hands stilling.
Like what you see, Sigma?
She huffed, standing and grabbing her bag.
You're a really great partner, Ashford.
And you're a sassy one. What's with the frown?
Ask your deck. She flounced away, some of the bravado leaving her as she spotted Crow leaning against the opposite wall to her classroom. He was staring down at his phone, but he turned it so she could see the screen. He was watching her collaboration with Theodore.
Just catching up, he mouthed at her.
Nerves skittered down her spine, and she quickened her step, hurrying off to her next class. But it didn't stop there. She kept seeing him. In the corridors between classes, in the dining hall, outside the training rooms or the bathrooms in the fitness center. She even caught him out the back of Dorm O. He was always alone, unless he was in the dining hall, where he stuck with Bellamy's group, though he never joined in on their conversations, preferring to stare quietly out across the hall. It was unnerving. She stopped going to the library at night and stopped fighting against Eve's attempts to drag her everywhere. Not to mention, she was still sleeping in Eve's bed. She was so distracted by Crow that she forgot all about the favor Sato had asked of her until a week later, when Ashford leaned across the desk and pulled the teacup out of her hand.
I'm having a party on Sunday, he announced. And you're shit at this.
How can anyone be good at this? She complained, frowning down at the dregs inside the cup. I don't see any of the symbols in the booklet.
It's easy.
He rolled his eyes, tilting her cup his way.
You're about to meet a tall, dark, and handsome stranger. Or come into a large fortune. Or die.
She snorted. I thought it was a flower.
So you're pregnant, then?
His lips twitched, those indentations around his mouth disappearing as little smile wrinkles swallowed them.
Aren't you going to ask why I'm having a party?
Will it run over 3 nights? Will you finally be choosing a bride?
He leveled her with a flat, bored look,
but those smile wrinkles were still there. It was astounding how those wrinkles and indentations could make him look like he was smiling or frowning without him ever really moving his mouth.
You know what?
He folded his arms and kicked out his legs, nudging her chair the way he liked to do.
You're uninvited.
You can't uninvite me. I already made you a present. He froze, his eyes flitting over her face before he sucked his lower lip into his mouth. Releasing it, he said,
You're lying. But I want to see you get drunk and start swearing like a sailor again, so you're re-invited.
You must not know many sailors.
Not for lack of trying.
They stared at each other, his boots rhythmically hitting her chair. What's the party for? She indulged him, even though she already knew.
My birthday, so bring a present.
What kind of things do you like?
Sexy things.
He arched a brow at her, tipping his chin down in challenge. He also liked to tease her like this, to make it known he thought she was pathetically innocent. She blushed and grimaced at the same time.
I don't think I'm equipped for that kind of present. Practice makes perfect,
he said easily, but he didn't really mean it. As much as Ashford liked to tease her, as much as he liked to dazzle her with his dusky skin and the silky golden hair that brushed his neck and chin, before hypnotizing her with the strange, thin symbols on his knuckles as he tucked those silky strands behind his ears, as much as he did all of that and then gave her knowing, hooded looks just to embarrass her, she knew that he wasn't actually interested in her. He liked to dance across a line, but he had no intention of crossing it. He was the same with the other girls, too, which was interesting. He was always seen with a girl or five wrapped around him or hanging off his every word, but none of them had any personal tales of him. Nobody spoke about what he was like in an intimate situation or what his dorm room looked like or any of his private hobbies and quirks. Nobody really seemed to know him at all, and he hadn't been caught in any actual intimate moments on camera at all. What kind of things do you like? She dug her heels in, lifting her chin to meet his stare despite the stain of color blossoming along the tops of her cheeks.
I like when things go my way. I like the way the sun rises in the desert, and I like very strong coffee.
Noted. I'll do my best.
You do that.
He smiled at her, and it was a little condescending. It was almost like a pat on the head and a good Sigma. She scrunched up her nose and then pulled out her phone, Googling what time the sun was supposed to rise on Sunday, before pausing and shaking her head. Why would she go to that kind of effort for Ashford?
No, no, no.
He leaned forward, his eyes narrowing.
Whatever you were thinking, don't chicken out. It doesn't suit you.
But it does, though, doesn't it? She shot back before she could censor herself. Sigmas are weak. Sigmas are meant to be felt, not seen or heard.
Tsk.
He wagged a tanned finger at her, shaking his head. Those aquamarine eyes disappointed.
And I thought you were finally stepping up to play the game.
She snuck out of Eve's room while it was still dark on Sunday, returning to her own room after a quick shower to consult her shelf of neatly folded outfits. She was sick of Ashford challenging her, pushing her, teasing her, underestimating her. But she was still nervous. He obviously didn't want a present, They were in their second year of Ironside. Only close family and friends did presents, and she was neither to him. She could have gotten him something stupid just to shove into his chest and meet his challenge out of spite. But she couldn't. It wasn't in her nature. She wanted to do something nice. It was his birthday. So she pulled on denim shorts and a loose, faded shirt that actually belonged to Killian, but she wasn't giving it back until he asked for it, because she secretly adored the way all his shirts felt so soft and well-loved. Her father was so wealthy that the minute her clothes showed any sign of wear, they were immediately replaced. She never had the chance to wear something that had softened to her, shaped to her. Before she came to Ironside, her clothes hadn't even smelt like her. She stuck her sunglasses on her head, tucked her phone into her pocket, and stepped into a pair of sandals before making her way to the dining hall. Breakfast hadn't been set up yet, but drinks and snacks were always available, so she grabbed 2 takeaway cups and put 4 shots of coffee in one of them, since she didn't know what very strong coffee consisted of. She dropped 2 wrapped chocolate chip muffin bars into her tote and then made her way to dorm A, making a big show of carrying the 2 takeaway cups. She might as well win a few popularity points from the encounter. Even if Ashford took the coffee and laughed in her face, people would still watch it. It would still get her closer to her goal. She took the steps up Alpha Hill, navigating carefully in the dark, and made her way around to the side of the dorm, counting out the big bay windows. She was pretty sure she remembered which was Ashford's room, but she still gritted her teeth in preparation for a big mistake as she balanced one cup on top of the other and rapped on the glass. She had to do it a few times before Ashford appeared in the window, jerking back the curtains so that the moonlight glowed over his skin. His eyes were heavy and confused, his hair messy, his chest bare. She tried not to look at that. "Carter?" His voice carried through the glass. "Come outside," she said, leaning so close to the glass that her breath misted against it, because she was too terrified to raise her voice. He stared at her, and then flicked his eyes to the coffee cups, and then stared at her again. Thankfully, there didn't seem to be any cameras around the back of the dorm, but it was still embarrassing enough without them. He leaned forward, unlatched the window, and shoved it open. "Oh!" She stumbled back a step, quickly palming both cups before she dropped them. "Didn't know you could do that. Here, happy early birthday." He kept staring, but the coffee seemed to gradually draw his attention, and he finally took it gingerly out of her hand, taking an experimental sip before coughing and breaking into a tight grimace.
"Holy hell! Are you trying to kill me?"
"Ugh, I knew I messed it up. Have mine." She tried to switch the cups, but he held his out of her reach, forcing her to lean through the window, her chest pressing to the window seat he was braced over.
"No, I like it, even if it is the middle of the night."
"It's not." She extracted herself from the window. "It's almost sunrise. Put a shirt on and let's go."
"Are you seriously stealing me away to watch the sunrise?"
"Stay if you want." She sipped her coffee, squinting up at the sky. "I'm sure you'll get other presents." He chuckled, and by the time she dragged her eyes back to the window, he was pulling a shirt over his head. He stepped into sneakers, tightening the drawstring on his sweats at the same time. She stepped back when he knee-walked over the window seat, pushing his legs through the window and jumping out before closing it securely behind him. He took long drags of his coffee, following her silently as she made her way to the library. She led him to the top floor, where a fire door was tucked behind a few shelves of unpacked books.
"Come here often?"
Ashford finally spoke up as they climbed the dark stairwell to the roof. "Not really," she said. "I didn't even check what was behind here until this year." She pushed open the door at the top of the stairwell,
holding it with her back as she waited for him to pass. There aren't any cameras, so you can drop the Ashford act for a while if you like.
Here I was, thinking you were doing this for views.
He planted a bronze hand against the door above her head, refusing to let her hold it open for him. She shrugged, peeling away from the door and walking over to the edge of the rooftop. The concrete edge had a low metal handrail above it. She stepped over the handrail, sitting on the concrete as her legs dangled off the edge. Over there, she pointed out over the eastern point of the campus, toward Alpha Hill. It's rising. She could feel him behind her, but he didn't really join her. One of his hands curled around the railing to the right of her shoulder, the other resting to the left of her other side, his coffee balanced against the metal.
This is the first time I've seen you act like a Sigma, he admitted lowly, his words landing on the top of her head. Sometimes you bark at me like you think you have alpha voice.
How diminishing. She crossed her arms, her mouth setting into a hard line, her empty cup tapping agitatedly against her bicep.
Yeah, just like that,
he chuckled.
Did you really organize this for me just because I told you to give me a present?
She caught sight of something below, just as the first glow penetrated the sky. A hulking form was winding his way around the lake toward Dorm O, his walk a little off kilter.
Crow.
Yes, she said simply.
Hmm.
He reached down, plucking her empty cup from her hand, bending to place both cups on the inside of the concrete barrier.
My cards told me that I would be surprised today. I was expecting something else.
What else did your cards say?
That people weren't what they seemed.
She kept watching Crow, barely nodding in response to Ashford.
Carter,
he trailed off, and she felt more than saw his hands re-grip the railing on either side of her shoulders.
Can you come over to this side of the barrier?
Scared of heights? She asked, smirking a little as she cast a look over her shoulder, catching sight of the rooftop door opening.
Oh, damn.
A cameraman crept through, followed by another and an assistant holding a big fuzzy microphone. They motioned her to ignore them. She tipped her head back up further, meeting Ashford's hypnotizing eyes, the vibrant blue-green hue reminding her instantly of coral-filled oceans.
They sent spies. Of course they did.
He closed his eyes.
I better make out with you so they don't think anything weird is going on.
She jumped a little, like he was threatening to grab her right then and there, and his eyelids flew open in alarm, both of his hands snatching at her shoulders and snapping her back against the barrier. His breath hissed out between his teeth.
Shit, don't do that, he demanded. What the hell is wrong with you?
There's an arch beneath me, she said dryly, kicking her feet in the direction of the large, tilted window arch.
And then below that, there's a whole lot of fucking nothing.
She tried to lean forward. Actually, there are more arches. He jerked her back again, leaning down as one arm wrapped around the front of her chest completely. She felt his breath stir her temple as he turned his head to the side, looking away from the view. Hey, she tried to sound soothing. I'm sorry. I'll come off the ledge.
You're a magnet for disaster,
he groaned, his arm tightening when she began to move.
Just wait. Give me a moment.
Kian. The voice floated into her mind, tinkling and musical. I'm sorry, Kian.
What the fuck?
She stuttered out. She didn't know that voice.
Let go. I can't.
He was breathing even heavier, his fingers starting to shake against her shoulder. Kian, I'm sorry.
Ashford!
She tried to pry his arm off. He was too big,
and his trembling was actually shaking through her chest.
Fuck,
he gasped.
I can't.
He's having a panic attack. The voice in her head was louder this time, more insistent. Help him. Help my Kian. She immediately stopped prying at him, her touches flattening out, stroking over his arm. It's okay, she whispered, her chest cracking open a little. The panic she hadn't even noticed battering up against her, since she had been panicking herself, filled her, flooding in through her walls to slosh sickeningly in the pit of her stomach. Despair, loss, guilt, fear. The strangest thing was, none of it felt new. These feelings were deep-seated, like the anger she felt from her father. His breathing evened out, but hers grew choppy. She cut off the flow because she couldn't afford another fit. Kian. Kian, she echoed, tears gathering in her eyes. I'm sorry. She's sorry. He hauled her over the railing, snatching her hand and dragging her back to the stairwell. She immediately tipped her head down, letting her hair fall over her face as they passed the cameras. She knew her cheeks were wet, and that was unacceptable. She swiped away the moisture as he pulled her out of the library. You can let go, she insisted, her free hand braced against her stomach as she hurried to keep up with him.
Stop talking, he ground out,
his strides growing longer until it felt like her arm was about to pop out of its socket.
Oscar,
he snapped once they reached the pathway. He stopped and spun them both around. She jumped out of her skin, coming face to face with Sado. He stared with shadowed eyes, his tall, muscled form hidden in oversized clothing, his tightly curled hair showing surprising licks of gold within the inky strands beneath the sun.
Well, that was interesting, he drawled,
his voice husky.
Dorm,
Ashford growled, spinning around again and resuming his fast pace, his grip still tight around her hand.
That had been interesting.
Oscar had been awake and sitting against his window when the little Sigma appeared like an apparition at the top of Alpha Hill. He tossed aside the book he had been contemplating turning the light on for and leaned forward, catching sight of the cups in her hand. A growl built up in the back of his throat. This was a whole new level of not allowed. He considered storming into Theodore's room and threatening the younger boy with violence, but decided instead to tug on a hoodie and slip into Killian's room.
Wake up,
he jostled his friend.
Make us invisible.
Piss off,
Killian muffled into a pillow, trying to roll over and push Oscar away.
Now.
Oscar tucked his hands under Killian's arms and unceremoniously hauled him upright, dumping him on the window seat overlooking the lake.
Kian is sneaking off with the Sigma.
What now?
Killian immediately whipped to his feet, groaning at an apparent dizzy spell as he shook his head and leaned into the glass.
Well,
he murmured lowly,
that's a new development.
Oscar grabbed his arm.
Invisible. Now.
Killian rolled his eyes, escaping again to pull on a shirt and step into flip-flops before taking hold of Oscar. They hurried to catch up, confusion growing as they entered the library.
When was the last time Kian stepped foot in this place?
Killian asked under his breath.
I didn't bring you along to chit-chat,
Oscar snapped back. Killian delivered another eye roll, but fell into silence as they stalked the others onto the rooftop. A small camera crew arrived a few minutes later, everyone just standing around and watching nothing. Kian and Carter were barely even talking.
Are they
watching the sunrise together? Killian whispered, utterly confused. For his birthday? How is Kian standing so close to the edge?
Kian was almost touching her, his arms braced either side of her, and Oscar was angry. He wanted the inherent mistrust and suspicion he had for the Sigma to be warranted. He didn't want more evidence that she was just as soft and fucking pure as everyone seemed to think she was.
"This is bullshit,"
he breathed out, careful not to speak loud enough to alert any of the other rooftop occupants.
"Don't," Killian warned, his head suddenly whipping to the side, shaking vehemently.
"Oscar!"
"Too late."
Oscar shrugged off the wave of chaos like it had been desperately gathering around him the longer he looked at her, and he felt it ripple away from him, a pebble tossed into a small pond.
This felt like the perfect powder keg moment. It would be rude not to.
He dragged Killian back to the door.
"They could get hurt."
Killian's protestations were cut off as Oscar hauled him down the stairs.
"She was on the edge!"
Killian broke away, shaking his head as they spilled out of the library.
"You stay away from her!"
He pointed at Oscar, stabbing him in the chest.
"You pull one more stunt like this, and I'm dragging your ass to Kaelin."
"Why wait?"
Oscar smirked.
"Run to Daddy."
"Apologize!"
Killian's bark was acidic, strong with alpha command. The soft-hearted boy almost never used it.
Oscar strained against it, the alpha inside him immediately rising to the challenge. He beat it down, sucking in a long draft of air.
"I'm sorry."
He offered his hand, and Killian stared at it for a moment before slapping his palm against Oscar's.
"I'm out of here,"
Killian muttered, realizing they were at an impasse.
Oscar couldn't be controlled, but he also couldn't step too far out of bounds, or it might risk everything they were trying to do at Ironside.
He waved Killian off, rubbing a rough hand over his face as he moved around to the side of the library where he had a good view of the pathway back to Dorm A. Kian would have felt his chaos. Maybe a confrontation was what Oscar really wanted, and he usually got what he wanted. Chapter 16. You Know What Happens. The sun had fully crested behind Alpha Hill by the time Ashford pulled her onto the roof of Dorm A. She heard doors opening as they stalked through the hallway, so she wasn't surprised to see Spade and Moses appearing at the top of the stairs as Ashford released her, pointing a finger in her chest.
"Just stay there,"
he ordered. Her mouth thinned, her eyes narrowing, but he was already turning and stalking back down the stairs, calling out Sato's name again.
"The hell,"
Moses grumbled, ruffling his sleep-mussed hair. Spade seemed to be carefully cataloging her.
"You've been up a while,"
he noted.
"You smell like coffee and fear."
"I smell like none of your business," she sighed, plucking at the neckline of her, well, Killian's, shirt. Was it getting hot? "Isn't it rude to scent people you aren't close with?"
"It's barely 6 o'clock and you're in my kitchen," he returned.
"That's all the invitation I need." She tried to skirt past him to escape down the stairs and out of the dorm, but Moses stepped into her path, shaking his head. He didn't even say anything.
"I thought you didn't want me hanging around."
She fought the urge to stumble away from him, pushing her chest out and planting her hands on her hips.
"Let me make your day."
"He told you to stay? You stay."
He glared down at her, those stormy eyes so familiar but so cold. He wasn't anything like Theodore.
"All right, caveman,"
she backed up, panic skittering along her spine.
Are there cameras up here?
She scanned the edges of the kitchen overhang.
Not inside the kitchen,
Spade answered.
Move a few feet to the right.
She immediately moved, breathing a sigh of relief as the sunlight slanted over her skin.
Why?
Moses asked, leaning up against the kitchen counter, his arms folded. He was acting like some sort of guard dog.
She wants to feel safe, asshole.
Spade rolled his eyes, padding over to the coffee machine and opening a cupboard of mugs.
You look pretty jittery already,
he said over his shoulder.
Or I would offer you some coffee. Illy?
Theodore's voice had never sounded so good. He shuffled into the kitchen, a